Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. The What to Read Next podcast helps you build a TBR of future favorite books. In each episode, Lori and Mean interviews authors and book influencers to recommend books they loved for you to pick up today. If you're an avid reader, always looking for your next great read, then the show's for you. Hi, Kate. Welcome to What to Read Next podcast.
Hello. I'm so happy to be here.
So happy to have you here. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
I am a writer and a podcaster. I've written two books. The first is a memoir called The Dead Moms Club. The title should make it pretty obvious what it's about, but it's a memoir about grief and losing my mom to cancer. And my new book is called In a New York Minute, and it's completely different from my first book. It is a novel and a romantic comedy set in New York City.
I love this. And we're going to chat about In a New York Minute in a minute. And you're also a podcaster. Tell us about your podcast.
I co-host a podcast called Forever 35, and we have been podcasting for 4 years, which is wild. It goes by so fast. But our podcast that I co-host with my friend Dori Shafrir, who is also a writer, is all about self-care and what that looks like for different people. So we get to interview so many amazing guests all about their self-care practices, self-care. And so we get to interview, you know, we've interviewed Madeleine Albright, who just recently passed away. We recently interviewed Jessamine Stanley, who's an amazing yoga instructor and author and cannabis advocate. We interview Elizabeth Gilbert, Jenny Hahn. I also get to try to bring in a lot of writers I love. So I've weaseled my way into, you know, like Helen Huang and Talia Hebert and Jasmine Guillory. I like to bring the romance people in, but yeah, we interview everybody. And we also talk about our own lives a lot and share a lot about ourselves. So everything from mental health to, you know, body image, existing in diet culture. I mean, we, you know, plus makeup and serums, you know, we cover everything. It's a lot of fun.
I love this. So let's chat about your romance journey. Like, let's talk about what was your gateway read? Like, what led you to this billion-dollar, you know, genre?
Sure. So in 2009, I was working as a writer at VH1, where I covered entertainment, celebrity, and pop culture. And we were covering the actors of Twilight quite a bit. And I also had a couple other like various moments where like I showed up to work at our office in Times Square and there was a line wrapped around the block. And I was like, what are you all here for? And they were like, what? You're here to see an author? Like what's happening? So I just kind of decided I would read Twilight for work so I could understand the phenomenon of what was going on around me. And I cracked it open on the subway back to my apartment in Brooklyn, and I became hooked. I mean, like so sucked in. And part of what was really important about Twilight for me is that it was really the first book I was able to read after my mom passed away in 2007. Mm-hmm. I had really been in some heavy grief, and Twilight was kind of this incredible escape. And from reading that book, I then of course read the whole series. Then I got very into Twilight fan fiction. Mm-hmm. Which was really wonderful because, you know, people write alternative universe. So Bella and Edward were adults. There was way more sex, which I was like, yes, give me some steamier romance. And from there I got into YA. So it led me to like the Hunger Games and Veronica Roth's Divergent books. And then I was like, oh, there's romance in YA. So then I found like Stephanie Perkins and Jenny Hahn and Jennifer E. Smith and all these contemporary YA writers. And then I was like, oh, there's adult romance. And it kind of coincided with, I knew Christina Lauren through the Twilight fan fiction world. I had met them and we connected and their book was about to come out. And so I got to read that and I was like, oh my God, whoa. And so then that really began, you know, me full force getting into specifically adult contemporary romance, but I've also kind of, you know, begun to dip a toe into historical and fantasy And I just love it. And I'm trying to constantly make sure I'm reading as much as I can, because sometimes I think we can get, like, you know, sucked into a specific aspect of romance or a specific author. And I really am trying to always be broadening my reads, if you will. But that is the journey I've been on for about the last 12, 13 years.
I love this journey because it took you to, it's a nonlinear path. It's like, it took you here, it took you there. And I have to say, I had a similar journey. And for me, it was like, I remember to start with YA, YA contemporary, and then be like, wait, I want their sex scenes. Like I went with college romance, and then I grew up into adult, and I was like, oh my gosh, the world.
I know. Yeah. It's like, it's so funny when you discover something, because when it's new to you, you feel like it's brand new in the world, but really, yeah, like, you know, people have been making this work for so long. So it just had always existed. And I just, you know, all of a sudden one day the veil was lifted from my head and I was like, oh, this is amazing.
Yes. So let's chat about what led you to write in a New York Minute. Like, what was the origin story?
Okay. So not long after I got very sucked into the world of Twilight and fanfic, I knew I wanted to write fiction. I was a writer, but I had always kind of written personal essay and about my own life. So I began just trying to write manuscripts and drafts. And I did that for years and never really felt confident in my work. And in about 2018, I had the idea for this story. And I just, you know, I did a very basic outline. I'm not a very big planner as a writer. I tend to really discover the book in the first draft. So I just wrote like a 2-page outline, which I still have on my computer. And I sometimes go back to look at it to remind myself of how a book grows. But I just kind of put this idea down, starting with the meet cute of like, what happens when two people meet in a moment that goes viral and looks romantic, but is actually anything but. That was this idea I kept kind of playing with. And from there, I just started, you know, kind of working on it and was determined to finish a first draft, because as a writer, one of the hardest, most frustrating lessons to learn is like, you have to have words on a page in order to keep improving what you're working on. So I just really like buckled down and kept working on it, kept revising it and going from there. So that's the origin story. And it's changed so much, obviously, since that, for the first draft. I mean, it's like, it's hilarious to look back on it, but it also makes me really, you know, fall in love with the process of writing, because there's so much growth that happens as you revise a story.
Yes. And let's chat about In a New York Minute. Tell us the elevator pitch. Tell us about the
movie. Okay. I am so bad at an elevator pitch. I feel like I need like mine is like a car ride pitch, and it's like an hour. Yeah. So I've got to really practice my elevator pitch. But In a New York Minute is a dual point of view romantic comedy. So it's told from both points of view of the people in the relationship, Franny and Hayes. And it starts with Franny. She just gets laid off from her job, rushes back to the subway to get home to Brooklyn with her hands full, the subway car's packed. She ekes on at the last minute. And as the doors close right behind her, she takes a step forward and she realizes that not only is her dress stuck in the subway doors, but it's ripped down the back. Mm-hmm. And as she's having this horrible wardrobe malfunction on one of the worst days that she's had in a while, a very handsome stranger steps through the crowd and offers her his jacket. And their meet cute is documented by those around them and put on Instagram, you know, without them knowing. And the story that evolves online is like, look at these two people having this embarrassing moment and falling in love. But in reality, their interaction is very awkward and they seem to have nothing in common. But thanks to the magic of New York and their amazing friends that are in their lives, the city kind of keeps bringing them together again and again until they, you know, realize that actually they do have more in common than they originally thought.
So I have to say, I read this book and as a former New Yorker who lived there for 14 years, I felt so immersed in this New York. Like, it just reminded me of New York. Like the idea of like, when you don't want to see someone, you see them over and over. Like,
isn't that the truth?
Like, you think New York is like such a big city and stuff like that, but yes, then you're like, oh no, I'm seeing you over and over.
I am telling you, you know, Well, I think I lived in New York for about 10 years, and that is the most truest statement about the city. And I think it can be hard to wrap your head around if you've never lived there, because it's huge. It's a huge city with so many people. But, you know, I would have these moments where, like, you know, my best friend would break up with her boyfriend, and then, like, the next day I would be sitting on the subway on the way to work and he would be directly across from me. And it's just like, how did this, what, how does this happen? And so there's just so many coincidences that happen in New York that I think if you've lived there, you've experienced. Yeah. And so it can be, you know, with a little, you know, twisting and polishing, it can make the perfect romantic comedy meet cute.
It can, and it does, you know, and you gotta include the local news, the local New York one, you know?
Yes. Yes. Make you could see that was a fictionalized New York one. Very, very much so.
You know, making magic happen. They see a trend, they're like, oh no, we are on it.
Yeah. I love local news in general, and New York has a great local cable news station. Oh, actually, I don't know if it's cable or everywhere, but it's called New York One. And so, yeah, so I tried to kind of make my own version of that as the local news that picks up their story and interviews Franny and Hayes and a very awkward TV interview. But I, you know, I love New York. It's my favorite place in the world. And I think I was able to really kind of get to visit it in my brain and on the page as I was writing it and be there in my head. And that was really special because I miss it. And I was revising this book at the beginning of the COVID pandemic with my, you know, after it sold with my editor. And so, you know, that was just such a time that was filled with so much grief and heartache, specifically mm-hmm. about how the pandemic was playing out in the city. And so in a lot of ways for me, it was a way of kind of escaping and revisiting this place in an easier time.
Yeah, I felt like it was just like a snapshot of like what I remember. I left New York 2 weeks before the pandemic hit, quote unquote.
Wow.
So it was just like a nice little revisiting of like, this is a New York magic. This is like the community, the locations, you know, the Brooklyn Bridge, like the old
classic
that makes you like, you live in New York. It's very different from someone who comes to visit New York. It's like the first time, but like they've lived there. And so how to make sense of it. It was like a great snapshot for that.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that because that means a lot coming from people who have never visited, but also especially from people who have lived there. It feels, you know, it's nice to know that it resonates.
Yes, it does. So let's have some book recommendations. Do you have any books to recommend our listeners to pick up?
I mean, where do I start? I have piles. I mean, I am surrounded by books because what happens is I get sent books and I buy books and I am a slow reader and I have, you know, I have two kids. And so I'm always behind on my reading. I am deep into the Ice Planet Barbarian series right now. I mean, like very deep. I have probably read, I've read almost all of them, and it's like, and their spinoff Ice Home. And so that's like a 30 book commitment that I've been involved in since like November. And if you aren't familiar with Ice Planet Barbarians, it is a series of romance books set on an ice planet where humans have, humans kidnapped from Earth have accidentally landed and become partners with the aliens who live there. Mm-hmm. So it is an alien human romance, which I never thought would be my thing, but you know, it turns out I'm obsessed. Another author who I love, whose book I read recently and I got to do her book event is Farah Heron. And she has a new book called Camilla Knows Best, which is an Emma retelling. And I love Jane Austen, but I also love Jane Austen retellings, like modernized retell. I love anytime anyone's like, I took an Austen book and I made it my own. That always just gets me. And it's a really, really fun, sweet read. I think Farah's books are just, I loved Accidentally Engaged, which was her previous book. She just writes really like cute romance very well. And I love her work. Let me see what else is sitting next to me right now. You know, I mean, I have a non-romance book that I have been reading by an author who's become a friend of mine online, whose name is Marissa Renee Lee. And she wrote a book about grief because she also lost her mom, called Grief is Love. And oh, it's such a potent, beautiful book about grief and loss. And she's just a fantastic writer. I'm really obsessed with it. And then I just read this book because we interviewed the author on our podcast. It's called Easy Beauty. This is another memoir by Chloe Cooper Jones, about walking, through the world in, she was born with a rare congenital condition, and dealing with the way in which people receive and judge her body.
Mm-hmm.
While also kind of exploring her own feelings as a mother and as a person in the world and traveling. And it's just so beautifully written. Like it's the writing is so great. And she was so cool and really wonderful to get to talk to. So I thought that was that's a new memoir that's coming out. And so is Marissa's book. They could both come out in April. So those are two. I love reading memoirs. So
mm-hmm.
I'm not reading romance. And I can tell you, I'm just looking on what I just bought the other day that I haven't picked up yet, but two books I'm really excited to read, Must Love Books
mm-hmm.
by Shauna Robinson, which I bought at Vroman's in Pasadena here in California. And then Delilah Green Doesn't Care. Those mm-hmm. are two. I went like immediately to the romance section and I was like, grabbed everything that I wanted. So those are waiting for me and I'm very excited to read them.
I love this. Yeah. Delilah Green is excellent.
Okay.
It's excellent. It's steamy. It's just so good.
I love Sadim. I love steamy books, which is funny because in a New York Minute is not, it's like alluded to. It's not like a total closed door, but it's not like a full steam party. Mm-hmm. And it was just funny to me because people will be like, yeah, there wasn't a ton of steam. And I'm like, I know. And I love steam. I wonder why these characters just didn't, I don't know. They were like private and sweet, but the next book that I'm working on, it's like I'm packing in those sex scenes, which has been really fun to write and different, but different characters, different desires.
There we go.
Yeah.
Well, something to look forward to.
Thank you. Yeah. Yes.
So it's a brand new skill that you're mastering.
It's interesting talking to other writers who write, I mean, anybody who writes books and is including a sex scene, it's so, some people are like, I love it. And other people are like, I don't know what I'm doing. I feel very awkward. So it's definitely a muscle as a writer that you have to exercise.
Yes. Oh, well, I'm looking forward to your next book and your next book and your next book.
So. Thank you. Thank yeah. you so much. I hope that it's such a privilege to get to be a writer in this space. And so I am so grateful and I hope that I get to be here for a while.
Yeah. So tell us where we can find you online.
Okay. I have a website called katespencerwrites.com. That's where all the, book information, bio, you can see a photo of me where a professional did my makeup and hair, which is very nice. And I am most active in terms of social media on Instagram, where my handle is Kate Spencer. I am on TikTok, but like, I'm not exactly sure what my TikTok handle is. I'm mostly there to watch videos and get sucked into memes. I think I'm Kate Spencer Writes on TikTok, but if you find me on Instagram, you'll be able to find me everywhere else.
Awesome. Thank you, Kate, for being on the show.
Thank you so much. It was so fun to talk to you today.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. Today's episode's partner is Libre FM. If you're an audiobook listener, then you should add Libre FM as your go-to source for paid audiobooks. Libre FM makes it possible for you to buy audiobooks through your local bookstore. Memberships start at $14.95, and they also have great sales for women's audiobooks each month for $3.99, thanks to the Kiss Club. To sign up for Libre FM, please visit whattoreadnextblog.com/LibreFM. You will receive a free audiobook when you sign up for a monthly subscription. If you purchase a subscription through our link, you will be supporting the podcast at no cost to you. The What to Read Next podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Please visit frolic.media/podcast to discover new shows to tune in. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whattoreadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.